Off the Ball Daily,
a home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball.
There's almost an element of like anyone can win it, but to do this is a different type of history.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
The Formula One Pod on Off the Ball, brought to you by KitKat. Hit pause, have a break,
have a KitKat.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the F1 Pod on Off the Ball, which is brought to you by KitKat, bringing breaks to the fastest sport in the world. Hashtag have a break. It's a bit of a weird month, April, in the world of Formula One, Kira. As always, Kira Tracy is beside me to my left. But yeah, weird month.
Really weird month. Lots of gossip flying around. Yes. People are kind of, you know, there's been some crazy suggestions out there. But, you know, there have been a lot of talks within the FIA. We haven't heard what they're going to be yet in terms of regulation tweaks, but they're open for tweaks. We still have more chats to come. So things are happening.
Things are happening, even though racing is not.
We still have a couple more, two more weeks until Miami.
It feels like, you know, in the summer break when we don't have races for a few weeks and suddenly it's like silly season, rumours start flying. And this is what it feels like.
100%. It actually almost feels like a natural break in a way.
Yeah.
Even though we've only had three races. But it's getting me really excited for more racing.
Oh, 100%. And someone else who has been excited for this Formula One season, who's exciting for racing in general, even as he turns 40 years old this week, is Romain Grosjean.
Romain Grosjean, the legend that he is.
The Phoenix. 179 Formula One starts with Renault, with Lotus, most famously for the past kind of, what was he, 5 years with Haas.
Yeah, 10 podiums over his career as well.
10 podiums. We are ridiculously excited to chat to him today. About his career in IndyCar, about his ambitions for what his career is looking like after the age of 40, and then also his opinions on the new regulations, the style of racing that they are bringing in, and then the safety elements alongside that. It is an incredible chat. I'm very grateful to him for coming on at what is a ridiculously early time in Miami. So here on the F1 Pod on Off the Ball is Romain Grosjean. We are delighted today to be joined on the line by Romain Grosjean, live from Miami. Romain, how are you?
Good morning. I'm all right. Thank you. Yourself?
Yeah, no, we're good. And it's a lot less early for us than it is for you. So thank you so much for joining us. We're incredibly excited to chat to you. It's a very exciting time in your career. You are 4 races into the new IndyCar season, your return with Dale Coyne. The next race is on Sunday at Long Beach, and you also have a big birthday coming up this Friday. So how are you feeling about this start of the season, and what is a very big week for you?
Yeah, no, I'm really happy to be back in IndyCar. I love racing. As you say, I ask myself if my age was going to be something that would, I would think about retirement or not, and the answer was no. I love racing too much, so really happy with the start of the season. I think good performance, just not the race turned up the way we wanted. And we're going to Long Beach, which is a track I love. I have twice finished second there. I don't think I will be able to party too hard on Friday, but that's okay. If I can bring a win trophy on Sunday, that would be a good birthday present.
And I mean, as you alluded to there, you know, Long Beach has been a track that you've performed very strongly on before. So we're, as I said, we're 4 races in, but what made you decide to return to single seaters? Why not stick with the sports cars?
I really like both. I had a blast in sports cars and definitely want to go back there. But I also felt that very selfishly, single seater is just you and about you. And I still had that desire to maximize everything on the package and on myself, which you don't really do in sports car racing. You find a way the team works well. There was a great opportunity to do with Dale Coyne Racing and Todd Olds there, and I was just happy to be back and get a taste of IndyCar again. It's a championship I really enjoy. I think it's a very tough competition, very cool racetracks, but as I say, I think in the future I'll be back in sports car racing.
You also got a taste of the F1 car again in September. You had the opportunity to get back in the Haas car. How was that 5 years on since your last stint?
Yeah, funny enough, it didn't feel like 5 years, to be honest. I jumped back in the car and yes, the first lap was a bit crazy because the car a lot wider than they used to be. But once that was understood, the steering wheel was the same that I used to race. The engine noise was very similar to what I used to race. We did some practice starts. You know, I remember all the procedures. And it was just an amazing day with Haas and Ayako Matsu and everyone in the team. There were so many people that were here in Australia 2016, our first ever race with Haas F1 team that were part of that test. And the weather was not the best, but nothing we can do about that. So it was the only time in my life that I went to do Formula One for fun. And we're like, do you want a coffee? Yeah, okay, let's jump out of a coffee and get back into it. And the way you would normally go go-karting with your friends, but with a Formula One car, it was just awesome.
I know myself that whenever I go-karting, I always, you're very sore at the end of it and because you were so tense or whatever you're driving. But when you've been away from an F1 car for so long and suddenly you're back in it, was your body still up to speed? How different is racing in a single-seater in IndyCar versus going around Mugello in an F1 car?
Yeah, so F1 car, it's a lot about the neck. And it was raining, so the neck didn't really need to work too hard. I'm sure it would have been dry. It would have been a different story. But in IndyCar, we don't have a power steering wheel. We have very heavy cars, very bumpy tracks. So you actually become stronger physically driving an IndyCar car than you are in Formula One. Heavy as well, because you need the muscles. As I said, the one that you lose is the neck muscles. So I had prepared some paddings because I knew I would need them.
Also, something that really stood out when you were back in the F1 car in September was the helmet. So you were wearing a helmet designed by your children, what you're meant to wear back in Bahrain in 2020, afterwards. What was that like to be able to take a piece of them with you on that track?
Yeah, it was very cool. That helmet was prepared for my last race in Formula One that I never really got the chance to do. I used it in 2021 a little bit in IndyCar when my return to racing after my accident. But then when the tests, we didn't manage to make the test happen. And we knew that helmet had to be the one. And so I shipped it back to the UK, Banbury. They put the Haas stickers back on the helmet. They you know, set up the radio in it and brought it to the test. So it was cool that helmet, that meant a lot to me, finally had a chance to do Formula One laps.
And I can see behind you there a fine selection of helmets from a long Formula One career and beyond. Do you have a favorite one? Is that something that drivers hate or love to be asked?
You know what? I think it's one of the first times that I've been asked that question. It's a really good one. Thank you. I mean, the Keys one is very, very special. I have done very few swaps. I have Fernando Alonso, Kevin Magnussen, Jimmy Johnson, and Olivier Panis. That's the only four swaps I've done. Helmet wise, there is my 100th Grand Prix that I see behind me. There was a special one. There is the Canada 2012 P2 finishes that's behind me. There is the Lightning McQueen that I always loved. I like them all. I don't want to choose.
Do you have a say in how you design the helmets, or do you have a team, or how does that work?
So I've been working with a friend of mine called Adrien Pavio. We used to race go-kart together and Formula One together. And then he went into helmet design. So since 2011, he's been designing my helmet. He knows what I like and what I doesn't like. He knows there are colors that needs to be on the helmet. And then he sends me proposal and I say, I like it, I don't like it. And he has an amazing career. You know, since then he's been working. I don't know how many Formula One drivers he does design helmet for, but Red Bull has been working a lot with Red Bull through airplanes, helmets, cars, and it's just fantastic.
You mentioned color there, but there has to be like a special color like attached to it. Do you feel like the aesthetic plays a part in your performance?
Well, my first helmet was blue, orange, and yellow. And those colors have to be on the helmet. They are your identity, if you want, when you put your helmet on. And they have always been with me. So I really like to have those colors. They are my three favorite ones, and I just like to have them with me.
And I mean, looking back at that kind of array of helmets behind you, and you mentioned kind of specific races there, I want to touch on the current Formula One season in a minute. But as we look back, as you said, it's been 10 years since Haas debuted in Formula One. Do you have a particular race from your Haas career or your wider F1 career that stands out to you as one that is your favorite?
That's another tough one. Of course, there are many, many, many great moments when you race at the highest level and you're very lucky to be on the podiums and to achieve good results. Austria 2018, we finished fourth with Haas. That was the best result. Of course, Australia 2016, we finished sixth for our first ever race. My last podium in 2015 with Lotus that we were not expecting at all. We had bay leaves in the garage. It was quite a weekend. Canada 2012, I was about to get married. I finished second of the race. So there are many out there that were very, very special. And I have kind of an elephant memory. I remember them all, so I could bore you the whole morning about it.
And I mean, Formula One in 2026 is so different to what it would have been in 2009, which is when you first sat in an F1 car, 2012 when you were full time. So we're three races into this new season now. Have you been watching the races and have you been enjoying them?
Yeah, I watch Formula One. I love Formula One. I watch every race. I was lucky to be there in part of that world. I still work for the French TV Canal Plus. Over 6-7 Grand Prix a year, where I go and comment, do some commentating. It's definitively very different this year. Mercedes did a great job at getting a very good car. I think Ferrari also bounced back. So there's some excitement out there. Is it different? Yes. I think there is room for improvement in it. If I'm being very honest, there are some part of the racing that I am not the biggest fan of, but also we've seen great racing. So I think, qualifying, everyone agrees that should be a flat out lap, which they're working on. The race, we've seen some good battles. We've seen some good overtaking. We've been some very close follow up. So I think there's definitively, merit in the rules. There are changes, which is great to see. And, there are drivers like Kimi Antonelli that now is leading a championship, 19 years old, that brings a breath of fresh air out there.
And we talk about regulations and perhaps, that's drawn a lot of criticism, the new regulations between drivers and spectators alike. And we know that the FIA have been having talks and they are continuing till the 20th of April about potential changes. What would you like to see potentially change in those regulations?
It's not easy. I think they made a great step. I would like, as I said, to see qualifying lap that is more about pure speed and less management. And then I think in the race, generally I like the overtaking that's happening, but I would like it to be a little bit less you go, I go. It feels like sometimes, someone uses the battery, passes one guy, next straight line is sitting like a duck. I think that differential maybe is going to be reduced a little bit, where we get to end up with outbreaking people, wheel-to-wheel racing on the brakes, into a corners, which is what racing is about, side by side. That's what you want to see. So I'd say a few tweaks, but there's definitely a good potential.
And we'll definitely see tweaks in strategy from the different teams as well. We've obviously got this extended break now before Miami. What do you think a lot of the teams will be thinking about in these next few weeks? What do you think, what teams do you think will come out of this most changed?
Well, you know what? They're way more intelligent than I am, so they're thinking a lot more than I am. But yes, the simulator must be running flat out. They're all looking at what they can do better, bringing updates. It's very rare that you get 7 weeks at home. Once the season starts, I think for some it's a blessing because there's so much going on that, when you're overseas, there's no way you can do. So You know, I think, as I say, Mercedes is a fantastic job. Haas is doing really good in the midfield. Alpine has been doing pretty good as well. And if you think like team like Red Bull, that's probably not where they want to be. Williams, Aston Martin, you know, they're going to get there. Then if Cadillac, brand new team, they're going to look at all of the data and see what they can do. Audi has been very impressive this year as well, you know, being in the top 10. So I think, yes, there could be changes going to Miami. But it's also not that easy to make some big changes once the season starts. So I'm excited to see who comes up with, you know, the bravest move.
Yeah, because as you mentioned there, some of your former teams, Alpine, who obviously used to be Renault Lotus, and Haas, performing very well this season, perhaps not as well as some people had predicted at the beginning. And we've seen a lot of young drivers, like the likes of Ollie Bearman, for Haas, really, really showing the skill and the talent that he has. This Haas lineup of Ocon and Bearman, it looks like a really positive one that they're bringing into the new season.
Yeah, 100%. You know, great lineup. Ollie's been doing fantastic this year. Esteban had a good Japanese Grand Prix. They're all under the management of Oyo Komatsu, which I really like as a friend, as an engineer, as a, you know, team principal now. I think he's been doing an amazing with the team Haas. Such an honest person that it helps everyone to get better. So I think they have a right. And a great lineup. They have the right people in place, and they're doing awesome. So every weekend, I'm happy to see them doing great.
And speaking of Ollie Bearman, he had quite a crash in Suzuka there a couple of weeks ago. We know that the FIA said after your crash in 2020 that safety was going to be the top priority of the FIA. Do we think that's being upheld? And do you think safety is a bigger concern now with these new regulations?
So, safety is always the center of the FIA and Formula One. There's zero doubt about it. And, you know, if we were redoing my accident today, I'm pretty sure the outcome would be very different in terms of, you know, the fire and the way the car broke. So there were, you know, even the track has been changed since then. So there's a lot that always keeps on going. The thing is that racing at that level of Formula One, there's always unexpected things coming to you and happening. So yes, Ollie Bearman is a big crash. Luckily, you know, it was fine. Is there going to be lesson learned? 100%. Are they going to do something as much as they can? Yes. But yes, you're right. You know, that's a safety concern. That closing gap with speed was very, very impressive. So they will learn, they will keep working at it, they will keep tweaking it. But yes, safety in Formula One, I can tell you, is always at the center of everything.
And what do we think could be going on in Ollie Bearman's head now after that crash? I know it only took you 3 months after yours to get back in an IndyCar and you were testing cars. Do you think there could be some hesitancy from him going into Miami, or what will be happening psychologically for him?
Zero, I think, is it's just part of what we do. And in French, we like to say we don't make an omelette without breaking eggs. And sometimes it happens, you know. I think it was unfortunate. It was a configuration of the corner. It's actually quite narrow at that part of Suzuka. There wasn't that many room for him to go. But it's still going to be very, very strong and very, very good in Miami.
And as you look kind of up and down grid, we're seeing more drivers. I'm thinking of Max Verstappen looking at different racing series. He's doing a few 24-hour races that I know that you've done. He's doing a few sports car racing. And I know there's a lot of speculation of how long he's going to stay in Formula One. But do drivers like going and doing different series in the middle of a Formula One season? Is this normal? Like, is this something that that racing drivers just have an itch for racing any kind of car?
Listen, is it normal during a Formula One season? No. Max is exceptional, and he loves it so much that he spent already 24 weekends in Formula One. He wants to do more. Is it something that we all love doing? Absolutely. But probably not during a Formula One career. You know, at IndyCar, we finished the championship quite early, September 6 or so. And then you have a long break. So yes, if I can go to Petit Le Mans, do some endurance racing, I will. If there's a NASCAR opportunity, why not? You know, never say never. But that's because our championship, main championship, is kind of over, and you can enjoy the rest during the season. That's quite impressive for Max. But it's always been like this, you know, in between the sim racing races and now the real racing outside of Formula One. He loves it, and that we can only say congrats, good job, and it's great to see someone that loves racing that much.
It's funny that you mentioned all the different kinds of racing that you like doing. You mentioned NASCAR there as well, but you said earlier on, kind of debating about retirement. When you mentioned retirement, is that purely from single seaters? Like, do you see yourself still going on and racing in whatever form that you want into the next few years of your career?
I think it all came that I always thought that by the time I was 40, I would retire. And that was kind of a number. And that's happening in a few days' time. And I'm not ready to retire. So as I say, things change, things evolved. Right now, I really don't see any retirement of racing. I just love being up behind a race, you know, behind a wheel on a race car. I love going to the weekend. I love having those butterflies that, you know, you may be doing something great. And then I really enjoyed working with teammates and sharing the cars in endurance and GTP prototypes is really something that I have a lot of fun. You know, Daytona 24, Sebring, Petit Le Mans, 24s of Le Mans, all those races are mega, and it's a pure human experience that I really enjoyed. So yeah, I want to do more of those.
And I wanted to ask as well, like, having raced now in America and across Europe as well, do you have a favorite circuit in America and a favorite one in Europe?
Yes, in Europe, it would be Spa-Francorchamps. In the US, I'm debating in between Road America and Road Atlanta. They're both amazing. So yeah, I do have in Suzuka in Japan if you want to go worldwide. So here you have the full worldwide experience.
Also, if we can go back earlier, you mentioned Fernando Alonso, and he's also had a recent change. You know, we're talking about your helmet designed by your children in September. Fernando Alonso's just welcomed a baby into the world. Were you able to give him any tips? Did you reach out, you know, for what it's like driving when you have children?
I don't think Fernando needs any tip. He's, you know, he has all the tools and experience and tricks of any race car driver in the world. But yeah, it's fantastic. You know, I think having babies is best thing in the world. I'm going to be honest that jet lag is less of an issue because you've not been sleeping that much at home. So when you go anywhere, you sleep. So that's a positive. But yeah, no, I mean, it's fantastic. You know, he's not having his the best season ever. He was expecting a lot more, I guess. And knowing Fernando, he just wants to be, he's a competitor. He wants to win races. That's all matters. But the beauty of having kids is when you come back home, it doesn't really matter if, you know, you had a good race or bad race, they look at you, they smile, and that what matters the most.
Because you said that becoming a father changed you as a man. Do you think it will change you as a driver as well? We also have Max, who welcomed a daughter last year as well. Do you think it might make you hesitate on the brakes a little bit? Do you think it could make you a slightly more cautious driver? I know at the end of the day you want to win races, but do you think it has a slight psychological impact?
I don't think so, personally. I don't think it did. It changed your mentality. It changed the way you approach the race in a way that, you know, it's not your center of the world anymore. It's still a very, very important part of your life, but it's you have something probably greater on the side. But no, when you put a helmet and you close the visor, it's game on, and it's you have to give it all. If not, there's no point. You know, we're already so little people in the world to be lucky to do that, that when it's time to go and you go for a race, you just have to give it all and make sure that you leave nothing on the line.
Have either of your kids ever decided that they want to try some go-karting? Would you be encouraging that?
I wasn't encouraging it. I wasn't pushing for it, but I don't think they really want to try that. I think the accident, you know, left a mark on both of my boys, and my daughter, if I'm being honest, has zero interest in racing. So, you know, that's fine by me. I have one that loves playing tennis. I have one that wants to be a cross country runner. Yeah. And my daughter just loves gymnastics. So
So still a very sporty family.
It's all very competitive.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, I guess.
Yeah, I think, Roman, this was lovely to chat to you. This was a really interesting discussion. We wish you the best of luck for the IndyCar race on Sunday and a very happy birthday.
Thank you so much. It's going to be a good weekend.
I think so too.
Best of luck.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The Formula One Pod on Off the Ball. Brought to you by KitKat. Hit pause. Have a break.
Have a KitKat.